This month we're dealing with teaching on how to develop faith-filled, boundless mindset. Everybody say boundless. Amen. So we're combating our tendency to allow negative things to limit us and disable our Christ-like conduct. Now today's a little bit different because today I'm actually going to confront our sin in our life. How many realize from time to time it's good in the body of Christ to deal with our sin? Amen, guys. Now, I realize it's not a popular topic in modern era churches to deal with sin. But you know what? Here's why we're going to deal with it from time to time, because Jesus dealt with it, and we need to be about what he's about. Amen, guys? So today, we're talking about the power of walking in the Spirit. See, every person will have one of two mindsets about the things that go on in the world and the things that occur in our lives. So we've talked about this month, and this is really the crux of what we want to grow in this morning and get beyond kind of where we've been. Some will go through a tough situation, and they'll say, well, because of what I went through, now I'm limited, okay? But others who are growing and realizing that God's doing a great work in their life, they're going to go through tough situations, and they're going to say, well, because of what I went through, now I'm able. Notice the two different mindsets. You're going to experience things and you're going to limit yourself, or you're going to have hope in God and grow through those things and let the Lord have his work in your life. And you're going to be able to say, well, I'm not limited because of what I went through or experienced. Instead, God's doing a mighty work in my life. And now that I've been through it, I know that God is faithful and his power shows up. And now I'm able to overcome it next time. Amen, guys. One of two mindsets. One of the things that keeps us limited is our compromises with the enemy and our flesh. All right, so today I'm really speaking to us about what I believe to be one of the greatest advantages we have as believers that will help us to develop a boundless faith in God. We've got the advantage of walking in the Spirit. Everybody say walking in the Spirit. Come on. And so this morning, let's see the impact of walking closely in relationship with the Spirit of God. At the conclusion today, I'm going to be praying a corporate prayer, all of us, just praying to be empowered by the Spirit of God. Yes. How many realize you need the Spirit's power in your life? Amen. We all do, and now more than ever. Okay? And so it'll change your life. It's going to affect everybody around you. And so his Spirit wants to be active in our life. Amen. So dealing with compromises today and things that prevent us from walking in the Spirit of God. Verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5. And here we go, beginning with our base text this morning. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. One more time, looking closely in your word or on your screen. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Did you know that when you and I live to appease our flesh, we invite problems and limitations into our life? But how can we begin walking in the Spirit if we don't know what it looks like to walk in the Spirit of the flesh? So right here off the jump today, Galatians 5:19 says from something very, very peculiar, for the works of the flesh are self-evident. Now, there's not a slide on this. Just listen closely to this. Dealing with identifying the works of the flesh. There's actually a list in your scripture. And just about every human tendency that you and I can have can be categorized into this list of fleshly behaviors from Galatians chapter 5, verses 19, 20, and 21. See, our works of the flesh really only fall into three categories. The Bible says there are sensual sins, there are spiritual sins, and there are social sins. Galatians 5:19 lists those sensual or sexual sins. It says there's adultery, there's fornication, there's uncleanness, and there's lewdness. And so somebody might be thinking already, well, Pastor, I really don't have to deal with those kind of sins in my life because I would never commit adultery. I understand that engaging in sexual sin is a violation that's going to cost me and limit me in life. But not so fast. Let's not boast about what we won't be vulnerable to. Jesus said it like this. Once when asked about defining and really identifying adultery and fornication, here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, once you look with your eyes with lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart. See, when Jesus gets involved, he makes things spiritual. Okay? And so you don't actually have to engage in the thing to need forgiveness for it. Y'all hear me, guys? See, as soon as you look with, I didn't expect to get a whole lot of amens on this one. Come on. I can tell you, as soon as you look with lust, you're an adulterer. Y'all don't shout me down right there. Come on. It could be that one of the reasons why that's so difficult for us to process is because we live in an age and an era today where sexual sin is so prevalent. And so somehow in our lives, we've kind of justified, and people have justified sexual compromises by saying, well, if I don't do it, I'm okay. If I just look but don't touch, I'm okay. But according to Jesus, once you look with lust, you're guilty. Amen. Okay, and so this is one of the things that holds us back and limits us, those sexual sins. Also in Galatians 5 and 20, it lists these spiritual sins. It says there's idolatry, there's sorcery, there's hatred. And so before we say, hey, Pastor Brandon, that doesn't apply to me because I would never participate in sorcery or hatred in my life or idolatry, but let's make sure we get the biblical understanding of idolatry. It just simply means if you got something in your life that comes before God, you've made an idol out of that thing. Can y'all hear me this morning? So that's why we kind of self-evaluate and look into our life and realize if there's something in my life that comes before my service to the Lord or my worship of God, if there's something that I place in front of Jesus in my life, that's my idol, and I need to repent of that thing and make sure that I've got it under the blood of Jesus and deal with that area in my life. Come on, if you receive it, say a good amen this morning. Where most of us really have trouble is in Galatians 5, 20 and 21, that list of those social sins, okay? And it's a long list. Scripture says that social sins consist of contentions. That just means when you can't get along with people. Yeah, I get it. You might not be an adulterer or an idol worshiper, but maybe you've got this situation in your life where you're critical of people or judgmental of people, and it gets in the way of relationships. The Bible says that that sin right there is right alongside fornication, adultery, and idolatry. That's too hard of preaching for us, some of us, isn't it? Let's make sure that we grow through this. Amen. We're learning to walk in the Spirit. Also among that list is this, jealousy. You didn't realize that jealousy in God's sight was right there along idolatry and adultery. It's a huge sin. Wrath. Here's one that a lot of deep-seated churchy people deal with. Selfish ambition. That's on the list too. Come on. What does that mean? It just means that you kind of manipulate things to serve yourself instead of serving others. Your goals in life and the things that you're preoccupied by are always self-centered, and you want to do things and do things for your own good and instead of for the good of Jesus and everybody else. Selfish ambition. Also, that list says dissension, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelry. These are sins of the flesh. Listen to Galatians 5:17. And this is the training that we need to begin to walk in the Spirit rather than be so vulnerable to give in to the flesh on a daily basis. By the way, why in the world am I teaching on this? Because I know that God has got a great purpose for you and a great purpose for this church. And I know that the Lord would have us grow so close to Him and be drawn so closely in our walk with Him that nothing, everybody say nothing, that nothing exists in our life to get in the way between us and Jesus. So let's get the training on this today. 5:17 of Galatians says it, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusts against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. Why? So that you do not do the things that you wish. In other words, this morning, listen closely. Your flesh is trying to get you to do things that the Spirit doesn't want you to do. And the Spirit is trying to get you to do things that your flesh doesn't want you to do. Yeah. It's a battle that a lot of people lost just this morning. Amen. They got up. It was cold outside. And the Spirit was saying, you know, you need to get up and be faithful to go to church. And the flesh was saying, no, it's too cold. Stay home. Cover up. Just watch online. And that's fine. I'm glad you're online, guys, but we need you in the house. Come on, everybody. Amen. It's good stuff. It's a battle. Your flesh is saying no to the Spirit, and the Spirit is saying no to the flesh every single day. And these two are in a constant battle for your obedience.
Yes, they are.
It's a battle for your obedience.
That's it.
The scripture says that they are contrary to one another so that you don't do the things that you wish. Let me explain it this way. How do you know which one you're obeying? Well, listen to this. I need you to use your imagination just for a moment. Remember when you, before you were born again, how many remember those the old days? Come on. Some of y'all lying right now. Come on. Has it been too long? I mean, how many remember the life before forgiveness, and now you got the life after forgiveness? Come on. Amen. If you remember that life before salvation, before you were born again, you used to engage in sin naturally and without much remorse. It was just living according to what you desired because that was your nature. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay. You just kind of did it, didn't worry about it, not much remorse to it. But now that the Holy Spirit has entered your life and you're born again, every time you're about to do something or engage in something or say something that is displeasing to the Lord, you know what I'm talking about. There is a brief little moment right there, a pause in time, when you quickly begin to weigh the consequences of your actions. How many realize what I'm talking about? See, right, Pastor, you're talking to us like we all sin. Yes, we do all sin. In fact, the word says you can't even tell yourself that you're without sin because when you do, you deceive yourself. How many realize we all need forgiveness? I don't know how frequently you like to repent and ask forgiveness, but I tell you what, in my life, I just like to go ahead and repent every day. Come on. Just every day. All right? You know that now that you're born again, there are those moments in time, that brief little second, that blip, just that moment of pause in your moment right there where you contemplate and weigh the consequences of your actions. And right then, your mind says to you in the blink of an eye, do I really want to do this thing? Is it worth the consequences? Is it worth breaking God's heart over this thing? And the battle between the flesh and the spirit right then and right there. The moment you question and weigh the consequences of your next step, that's the moment that the flesh and the spirit took a battle for your obedience. Yes. Right in that moment, that blink of an eye. And if you obeyed the flesh, you went ahead with the sin. But if you obeyed the spirit, you walked away from the sin. Y'all getting this morning? I know it's just too easy. It's just too simple. But we need to hear it this morning in simple fashion. Because God desires that we walk closely with Him and not be caught in that pattern, that destructive pattern of compromises in our life. Listen, if there's going to be a battle take place for your obedience, my prayer for myself, my family, and for you is that we learn to, in those moments, those blink, those little tiny battles for obedience, that we learn to win those battles by saying no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit of God. Because God's Spirit has your best interest in mind. How many realize His plan is always better than your plan? Amen. How many love the Word of God this morning? I know I told you it's a little confrontational today, kind of against my preaching nature. But be uplifted today as well. Because I'm telling you, today, each one of those spiritual battles, it happens in a snapshot. It happens momentarily. It just happens in a moment, right then and right there. How many are you going to win and how many are you going to lose? See, in your life, which one usually wins? There's help for us. Look at your screen in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. Look at how plainly the scripture speaks to us here. Galatians 5:25 says this, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Once more, come on, this simple scripture. That's a big if right there. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, church, listen, that's just the New Testament way of saying, if you're saved, live like you're saved. Can y'all say that with me? Come on, say, if you're saved, live like you're saved. If you're going to be in the Spirit, live. Walk in the Spirit of God. That's all it says. If you're saved, begin to live like you're saved. God's got great purposes for you. He's got influence for you. He's got people in your life that are waiting. The Bible says, waiting with bated breath for the people of God to arise and be the children of God. Do you know that you've got people looking and wait, looking into your life and waiting on you to step up and live boldly and big and so Spirit-filled so that they can finally be inspired and they can see an example of somebody that's truly been changed by the power of God? I don't know about you, but I want to be that person. That when people look into my life, they don't just see somebody struggling with the old ways. They don't just see somebody who's going through and losing many of these many little monumental, tiny little battles, but somebody who really knows how to call on the name of the Lord when we need to call on Him. Somebody who's going to live in a way that you can look at my life and I don't mind. Listen, the scripture all sinners know. Judge not, lest you be judged. Let me tell you the difference right there. People who are real, people who are set on fire for God, people who are walking in the Spirit do not mind the scrutiny of spiritual judgment in your life. I know it's deep right here. Listen, guys. The people I'm talking about, the men and women of God whom God will use mightily to change a county, change a church, change a family, are the people that are boldly saying into my life, I'm living close to God. I'm saying yes to the Spirit. I'm walking in the Spirit. It's okay. You can go ahead and judge me. Judge me right now. I've graduated. I've got on beyond that excuse-making lifestyle. Right, well, you just go ahead. Don't judge not, lest you be judged. Listen, why don't you just go ahead and walk in the Spirit and just claim the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life and be the person that God died for you to be. You can square your shoulders and look at the enemy and look at the world and say, you know what? I don't mind if you look deeply into my life. I don't mind if you listen closely to my words. I don't mind if you follow my pattern and walk like I walk, because guess what? I may mess up, but as soon as I mess up, I'm going to go to Jesus in repentance and He's going to make me right again. See, the definition of walking in the Spirit, this is the simplest one I found. Walking in the Spirit is simply this: allowing God's Spirit to do in us what He wants to do. When we walk in the Spirit, you become more concerned with pleasing God than pleasing yourself. His will and His direction becomes paramount to the course of your daily decisions every day. And it seems like such a huge leap for so many people. How could you become more concerned with His will than your own? Well, it takes training and discipleship. Why? Because your flesh does not want to relinquish control to God. And your flesh, man, how many realize your flesh will put up a great fight? How many know I'm right about it? Come on. Your flesh will put up a great fight. So that your life will stay put in that rut of rebellion against God's purposes in your life. And I believe this morning that those battles, that battle is so that you will constantly stay in the struggle without being a great light for Jesus. See, if the enemy can keep you from embracing your brand new nature in the Lord, he can prevent you from impacting your world with your great witness. I know that's a big mouthful. Pastor Brandon, why is it that I struggle? Why is it that I'm up and down? Why is it that I have good days and bad days with the Lord? Listen, because you serve three entities that are trying to work against you. Three, not just one, not just the devil. I mean, like last week, we dealt with that fact that people say like to say the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. You're dealing with three entities. They all have their sights set on taking down the kingdom of God. You're dealing with Satan. You're dealing with the world. And number three, you're dealing with your own flesh. All three. And sometimes it is Satan's fault. And sometimes it's the world's fault. But most of the time, the messes that we get ourselves in are just our fault. Sometimes it's just my fault that I'm in my mess. Can y'all say a good amen right there? I know it's hard today. You know what? Most of the messes we get into are because of our own mistakes. Amen. We lose too many of these tiny little microscopic spiritual battles that are battling for our obedience. And we suffer the consequences of our own things. See, every spiritual battle is about whether or not the people in your life are seeing you carry the cross around with you everywhere you go. Every battle. If you're born again this morning, and understand me today, everything that you face in life is all about whether or not Sally and JoJo and the people around you, whoever they are, see you carrying and toting Jesus' cross with you today. And if your flesh wins the little battle, they're not going to see the cross. But if the Spirit wins the battle, guess what? They're going to see you overcome. They're going to see you say no to sin and yes to Jesus. They're going to see you maintain a spiritual disposition and power in your life, even though all your circumstances are coming against you. They're going to be inspired when you touch them with the way that you're living and the way that you're speaking in spite of the hardships that you're experiencing. Amen. That's carrying your cross today. Come on, somebody say, I receive it this morning. Amen. God is concerned with Jesus' mission going forth through you, your words, your actions, and your life. This is why Jesus said something very, very peculiar. He said that the Spirit will help you in your time of need. That's what he said. Look at John 14 and 16. Jesus speaking. He said that I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Thank God. Abide. Everybody say abide. That just means to live with, cohabitate with you. Verse 17 goes on to describe the helper, the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive because it doesn't know him. It neither sees him nor knows him. But look what Jesus said, but you know him. Yeah. Everybody say it with me. Come on, if you're born again, say, I know him. You know, do you know him this morning? It says, for he dwells with you and will be in you. That's what Jesus said. In other words, this morning, Jesus is saying, I'm sending you some help. I'm sending you some help to abide with you every single day. Don't be concerned with the fact that the world does not recognize their help yet. They don't get it. They don't know him. It's up to you to show them the hope of Christ, the love of Christ, and the power of Christ so that they can be reconciled back to God just like you were. But that's not going to happen unless you live like you know him. How many know him this morning? Right. See, when you know him, you know that he's got help for you. Thank God. Real quick this morning. If you know him, walking in the Spirit. Let me just give you four of the Spirit's purposes, four great purposes of the Spirit's walk in your life. Here we go. Are you ready? Come on. If you're ready, say, I'm ready. Number one, he defines your worth. That's what he does. The Spirit defines your worth. Did you know that when you believed Christ, it was the Holy Spirit who gave you your regenerated brand new heart? He made you a son or daughter of God. And when he did this, he created worthiness for you. He made you worthy by faith in Jesus' righteousness, worthy to commune with God, worthy to enter the presence of true holiness. That's what he did. This is how your great worth is defined this morning. Your worth is not defined by any measurement of your own human faculties. And I'm so glad about that. Because I'm so limited. In fact, that's one of my fleshly battles. Worth, self-worth. I deal with it all the time. I've got to remind myself in my own life, in my own walk, that I'm not defined by people's perception of me. I'm not defined by my accomplishments. I'm not defined, and my worth isn't established by the things that I do, the people I know. My worth is not established by my accomplishments in ministry, in education, or anything else. Listen, my worth is established in the person. Y'all hearing me this morning? So you deal with this. That's why the Lord gave me this in walking in the Spirit this morning. People deal with this. It's not your human faculties that establish your worth today. It's not your own goodness. It's not by the merit of your own works. It's not even how talented you are, how gifted you are, how good looking you are, how popular you are, or how charismatic you are in your life. Your worth is not defined by how many people like you or accept you or by how much success you have accomplished in your life. Church, listen to me. Your worth is established in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Thank God. It's your Father who loves you. When the world doesn't like you, he still loves you. Come on. When people in your life are rejected by you, when they've turned against you, when they've done you wrong, listen, you don't have to worry about being accepted by them. They don't define your worth. Your worth is defined by the one who loves you no matter what. Come on. Your worth is defined by the one who loves you, the one who sticks closer than a brother. Your worth is established this morning by faith in the shed blood of Jesus and his righteousness. Appropriated to you by faith in God. No matter what the world tries to tell you about your worth, remember this, they have no control over your worth.
That's right.
Jesus has already set you up.
Yeah.
The Bible says he's already given you all things. Everybody say all things.
All things.
He's already given you all things pertaining to life and godliness. Come on, if you receive it, I think it'd be appropriate to give God a great praise right now. Come on. Praise you, God. I'm going to fly through numbers 2, 3, and 4 very quickly. John 15, 26 gives us number 2. The Spirit establishes your life's mission. So many people are spinning their wheels trying to figure out what God has for them. I'm going to break it down for us right here. When you walk in the Spirit, look at John 15, 26. Jesus said, but he, when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Come on, somebody.
Right.
See, you know him. Jesus said that he's with you, he abides with you, and he'll be with you. And his purpose and your mission is to testify of Jesus. That's your life's mission. Our life's mission is to testify of him. That's what the Holy Spirit does when we walk with him. He enables you to be equipped and empowered to be a great testimony of Jesus.
Yes, he will.
Pastor Brandon, I thought that God's will and purpose for my life was to do the thing that I really wanted to do most. Fine. For some people, I think that is God's plan. As long as you are testifying of Jesus right in the middle of it. Y'all hear me this morning? Which brings me to number 3. He empowers you, my life. Come on, look at this. He empowers your life. Walking in the Spirit empowers your life. That's what he does. Jesus said this in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And he gives us the reason. But you shall receive power. Everybody say power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.
Yes, amen.
Thank God. This is the purpose of the Holy Spirit's power in your life, to be a witness, to testify of him. He empowers you to overcome. Look at verse 26 of Romans 8, quickly. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit is with you to help you?
Thank you, Spirit.
Amen. To empower you. And finally today, kind of where I want to land, because this is really where walking in the Spirit becomes the most evident on a daily basis. Everybody lean in for a moment. God's Spirit enables you to treat people better than they deserve. Did you know that that's the greatest witness you have? Number 4, he teaches you how to live for impact. Everybody say it after me. Say he teaches me. Come on. A little bit more boldness. Say, he teaches me. Come on. How to live with impact. And here's the only way to do that. You treat people better than they deserve. That's the most powerful way you can witness, the most powerful way you can affect someone's life for God, is you just forget all about the prerequisites and you love them anyway. You forget all about the social hoops to jump through, and you just accept people and love them anyway. In fact, here's what God's Spirit will enable you to do today. How many want to find out how to change somebody's life today?
Right.
Come on, today, right now.
Right.
I'm going to give you a nugget right here. You can change somebody's life today, and God's Spirit will help you do it. Here's what you're going to do. Everywhere you go today, keep your eyes open. Think about people in your family, your friend circle. Find somebody that nobody wants to be around and go be their friend.
That's it. That's it.
You will change that life forever. Find somebody that nobody wants to be around and go be that person's friend. Find somebody that can do nothing for you and go be their friend. Did you know that that one thing right there goes against every natural human norm?
Yes, it will.
Because all of us, our natural tendency is to only befriend people who subconsciously we believe can do something for us. But thank God for Jesus' cross, because that means we can have a new nature. I said we can have a new nature. We can learn to live selflessly. Here's how you live for impact. Look at verse 22 of Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy. Come on, everybody say joy. Peace. Long suffering. That means patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Verse 23 says gentleness, self-control. And against such there is no law. We have to include verse 24 as we wrap up. It says this. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Thank God. Living, the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to live with great impact. And you do that by treating people through the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Brandon, the word said the fruit of the Spirit is love. Well, that means this. You're going to have some unlovable people in your life. How many of y'all got some unlovable people? Don't raise your hand now. Listen, unlovable people. Yeah, your flesh is disabled when it comes to unlovable people. You can't do it. But God's Spirit, whom you know and who dwells in you, He enables you to love when there's no reason to love. Y'all hear me now. Come on. Aren't you glad? The fruit of the Spirit says joy. Sometimes in this life, in this era in which we live, it seems like there's no reason to have joy. You're disabled when it comes to joy. Your human nature says, I need all my good circumstances and all of my preferences to line up on my behalf before I can begin to experience joy. That's what nature says. But the spiritual nature says, you don't have to have your preferences met and for everything to be going your way to have joy. Why? Because it don't come from circumstances. It comes from the Holy Spirit that's dwelling in you. Come on, somebody. We can go on and on. Patience. Most of us are disabled when it comes to patience. Because our human nature says, I want it now. I want this person to be this way now. Hear me, guys. You are not able to produce patience. Because in the flesh, we're looking to scenarios and circumstances to be in our favor. But by the Holy Spirit, patience just comes out. It's His fruit. It's just natural. Amen.